This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Well, time flies by. There's just simply too much going on in Seattle, Danny. When a baseball team is good as this baseball team is in this town, like every day, are you just, okay, what next?
Let's go.
Yeah, huh? Why, let's go, Astros. I know you're the World Series champs. I know your roster is deeper. I know your rotation's a little bit better. I know all of that. And yet we find ourselves here in this town a game better than you. And we get to go down to your place. Took 3 of 4, you did, when you came up to Safeco Field last month. And you're about one of the only few that took care of business against us, and now you get a time to hit them in the face in their park.
Does that part, the 3 of 4 that you lost to Houston and then the 2 of 3 that you lost to the Angels, does that still kind of stick in your craw a little bit about sort of making you question? Because as good as the Mariners have been, and look, all games count, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's only playing bad teams. Mm-hmm. You are what your record says.
Yep.
But they've played some pretty bad teams.
They've had a very favorable schedule. You know, one of the more favorable schedules as far as teams and the teams they're playing against and their winning percentage. But, you know, that said, the Rays had won, what, 4 or 5 in a row before they came in. You saw them. They're a scrappy group of guys, and you took care of business against them. But, yeah, this is a whole different animal. This is a Houston team that is not very flawed, that was most people's pick to win the American League and get back to a World Series. I think even Mr. Passan. Hey, Jeff Passan, how are you?
I am well, gentlemen. Danny O'Neill, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you, Jeff. And they've been giving you a bum rap here. Brock's been calling you a wet blanket.
You mind if I call you a wet blanket every once in a while? Is that okay?
You know, it's really funny. Right before I was coming on talking with the producer, he's like, yeah, you know, it's been a really different spring and it's been nice. And I said to him, well, I guess I'm going to be the wet blanket.
There you go. It kind of sounded like the skunk. We had a caller one time that sounded just like you. And he said, well, I guess I'm the skunk at the picnic. So you could be the wet blanket. And have they done anything in the last couple of weeks, you know, since we chatted? Certainly they have in the standing. Certainly they have statistically. Certainly a pitching staff has found its rhythm. Is there anything that the wet blanket has warmed up to a little bit?
Well, they're in first place ahead of the defending champions. And it's June. So it's difficult to sit here and criticize the Mariners. I can't do that. They have played really well. And it's not so much that they have played like dominant baseball by any means, but they're winning games. And it's an undeniable thing. They are 15 games over 500 now. 15 games over 500 with a plus 17 run differential does not necessarily portend particularly well for the future, but I'd be lying if I said that there weren't teams in the past that have distinctly outplayed their run differential. And when you look at what the Mariners pitching has done over the last month, it has been nothing short of incredible. And that, to me, is the most shocking part of this whole thing. I did not think this pitching staff had in it what it has shown.
I think it'll be interesting, Jeff, to see if they can keep it up, because Marco Gonzalez, James Paxton, even Mike Leake have really, and Wade LeBlanc have all, in some ways, outperformed what you would have expected or projected from them. I'm interested in the run differential. Because you look at it and what it leads you to believe will happen, what it points to toward the future. You also can think that some of their hitters are going to get better. Is chemistry a thing? I've always been a person that doesn't believe that chemistry produces winning. I think winning produces good chemistry, that successful teams tend to like being around each other. But I watch how often this team comes back and how good they are. They're 6-0 in extra inning games. I believe their record's now 19-8 in one-run games. To think that maybe there is something to this team being resilient or having good chemistry that's helping them win these close games.
As somebody who is a fan of analytics and believes what the numbers say, I am belying my nature by saying this, but I do believe in clutch hitting, and I do believe that there is grit in athletes. And I understand that it is entirely unquantifiable. And I, you know, that's why I have this cognitive dissonance about it, But I also know that anybody who has ever played a sport understands the notion of a slow heartbeat, and that particular players have the ability to slow themselves down in particularly important and tense moments. And I don't know if these Seattle Mariners have that per se. Like, again, it's an immeasurable thing. But the fact that they've won all six extra inning games says that if nothing else, they have performed well. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to continue to perform well in such situations. But every year, there's a team out there that, whether it's with runners in scoring position, whether it's in one-run games, outperforms all of what the metrics say. And the Mariners may very well be that team this year, in which case they're going to be fighting all the way to the end of September for one of these playoff spots. I do not believe they're going to win the division. I don't. But I think they're going to be there with the Angels step by step for that second wild card spot. And I think that one of those two teams is going to face either the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Jeff Passan here of Yahoo Sports with us. The predecessor, Scott Servais, was a guy named Eric Wedge. He liked to say, this is real. Oh, this is real. What do you think with these Mariners, whether it's some analytics that you're looking at, whether it's what your eyes have seen, what do you think is the, what are some of the components that are the most enduring, maybe the most sustainable, however you would define real, but which ones have stood out the most to you in this stretch as they find themselves, Jeff, in first place for the first time in June since 2003?
I think their bullpen is pretty real. I've always liked Juan Nicasio. I know Edwin Diaz had some struggles during May, but I still believe in him. Getting Colome was, I think, a canny move for them and something that really deepens it. And when you have as many issues with starting pitching as the Mariners have, or as they seemingly do on paper, you need that bullpen depth. I think that James Paxton is really, really real. I think that Marco Gonzalez is a lot more real than I actually gave him credit for. And I know that, going into May, you would have assumed that he was going to have a little better performance because his strikeout to walk ratio was what it was and because he doesn't give up many home runs. And while that took a step backward, at least the strikeout to walk ratio in May, he still performed well. I'm not on Team Wade LeBlanc continuing what he's doing. I think Mike Leake is a perfectly acceptable number five for a contending team. I think the big difference on this team is going to be if Felix Hernandez can find anything. Because what we saw in May, there wasn't a whole lot there. And if they can get good pitching, not like prime Felix pitching, if they can get six innings of start with 2-3 runs every time out there, I think that calling them a contender is a very real and legitimate thing. And I don't know if that's sounding like a wet blanket.
Sound decidedly optimistic.
No,
Jeff.
almost.
Yeah,
damp.
I mean, I always say that I really want to make my first assessment on a baseball team on June 1st. I feel like almost everything up to that point is noise. But once you get to June 1st, there's been a good 2 months of seeing what this team is all about. And I've been a lot more impressed with the Mariners than I expected to be. And look, part of that is their record. I don't think that they are a team that should be 15 games over 500, considering how they've played, but they are. And you can't take those wins away. You can't, this stuff is banked. So they're in a really good position. If they play 500 baseball for the rest of the season, guys, they're a playoff team. Simple as that. It's all they got to do. Play 500 baseball the rest of the season, and you're in.
And then would you mind if I, throw this song your way? How you like me now? 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 You know, this has been a very smart show today. We had an economist on at 8:30. He is a numbers cruncher. You said, what, intellectual dissonance, I believe, earlier. I think I wrote that. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I wrote that
cognitive
down.
Cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance.
Close.
Yeah, close.
You're a football player,
yeah,
Brock. It's okay.
I know. I did the best I could. Should have wrote it down. But I'm going to pick your cognitive intellect here. I don't even know if that makes sense.
I don't know if there's an unconscious intellect that's possible.
I want to pick into the deepest recesses of your nerddom here, because there's two things that you kept out that I think are the most real for this team. I think it's their speed, and I think it's their defense. I think it's Mike Zunino, who has been unbelievable behind home plate. Heredia on center field is, to me, a plus center fielder. D. Gordon back at second base. Kyle Seager's been out of his mind at third base. Healy's a plus guy. Yep. Haniger. I think their speed and the defense are the two most real things. Over time, in history, over the last few decades, do those matter in baseball?
Defense, yes. Speed, not nearly as much. And I'll be honest, I have not looked up their base running metrics. And I don't entirely buy the notion of base running metrics the way that they are presently constituted, or at least publicly available ones. But their speed, it is unquestionable. They have athletic guys at almost every position. And it's great to see Heredia playing more. I think he's somebody who, with his eye at the plate, really adds something to this team that tends to have a bunch of free swingers. Gene Segura, free swinger. D. Gordon, when he's healthy, free swinger. Ryan Healy, free swinger. Mitch Haniger's another guy. He didn't have the greatest May, but I'm a big Mitch Haniger believer. And if he can stay healthy, great. Nelson Cruz is a vital part of this team. They need thunder in the middle of the lineup with Robinson Cano out. And if Nelson Cruz, I wrote about this week, if Nelson Cruz can be the 900 OPS guy that he's been the last three seasons instead of the 800 OPS guy that he's been this season, it's a whole lot better Mariners club. So, you're right. There are places for this team to improve. But I see what they did pitching-wise in May, and I'm just like, can they keep that up, or is the beast that is regression going to come back and snap at them like a piranha?
Yeah, you certainly are. It's tough to expect their pitching to be any better. Jeff, I'll ask you this about D. Gordon, because I love the style of player he is. He's really fast. He is a free swinger. He does not walk a lot. He is not your conventional leadoff hitter from the past 15 years. Yet it seems like he is a real lightning rod for this team. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, what you think of him as a player and what he can do for this team the rest of the season.
I love the fact that D. Gordon still wants to hit singles. You know, like, yeah. Nobody wants to do that anymore. Yeah. Nobody wants to put the bat on the ball in 2018. It's just not part of baseball these days. And so for D. Gordon to want to get base hits and to make that a part of his game, I feel like it's a cool thing as a fan to watch. Does it translate to wins? Yeah, like it can. And I think D. Gordon is a good Major League Baseball player. Like, I want to have D. Gordon in my lineup, and I want to have him at the top of the lineup because I know he's going to steal bases too. And look, that kind of thing, even though the stolen base is going away, and even though, you know, guys are running less than they have really at any time in baseball's history, I still think that is a valuable part of his game and his versatility as well. I like D. Gordon as a player, and having him and Segura at the top of the lineup, I think, is a plus for the Mariners.
Hey, last thing for you, Jeff. We're going to dig into this. We meant to start our show with it. I've got five moves. In light of the Major League Baseball draft that's going on right now, and the Mariners with a couple selections yesterday, two guys we knew nothing about, so we don't talk a great depth about them. But we know about these moves that Jerry has made. I would love for you to draft maybe your first or second of these, of which is the most important in what they're doing now. Moving Diaz to closer, trading Marco Gonzalez for Tyler O'Neill, bringing in Gene and Mitch for Taijuan Walker and Ketel Marte, adding D. Gordon, trading for Mike Leake, wholesale coaching changes last offseason. If you had to draft your first and second round pick out of all of those moves that have had the biggest impact on this team, what would they be?
Oh, I mean, the Haniger-Segura trade's an obvious number one. it's such an obvious number one that I feel like there's not even a number two. Like, it takes up number one and number two. But if I'm going to go with two, I'd say probably putting Diaz in a closer. Because, look, he is, I think, over the next 5 years, Edwin Diaz is going to be one of the two or three best closers in the American League. I love the stuff. I love the moxie. I love the attitude. I love everything about the guy. I think he is a born and bred closer, and I am big time Team Diaz. And granted, I understand that he is prone to spectacular blow-ups and that there's a bit of like heart palpitations that go on when he comes into a game, but still, that's what happens when you have a closer in baseball. Like, there are very, very few guys who don't have those moments, and I think eventually he's going to evolve and grow into one for whom those moments are very infrequent.
Jeff, the wet blanket passing from Yahoo Sports, always a dream to have you aboard. The beast that is regression, snapping at them like a piranha. Is that something, because you know you're going to join us in 2 weeks, that you root for or you root against?
I don't root for anyone to lose. Okay. I root for peace, harmony, and people to go to Apple Podcasts and listen to the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast.
That's what I'm talking about, is what I'm talking about.
What Jeff does is he simply observes and tells you what it is. And yes, that beast may be snapping at their heels like a piranha. And if so, he'll be there to tell you about
That's exactly right. On his Apple Podcast, you can find it over there. Jeff with Yahoo Sports does such a great job. I appreciate it, Mr. Passan. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Looking forward to it, boys. Take care. Awesome.
Jeff, thanks.
There he is, Jeff Passan. He is fun. And I'll tell you, there's two thoughts that I wrote down. We will get to the Seahawks here in a minute. Two thoughts that I wrote down. And we like to say this. You like to say it. Salk loves to say it. I want to see my team zig when everybody else zags. I want to see the Seahawks actually play coverage and think you can shut down the passing game and do it in a unique way and run the football when others in a league say you can't do that. That's not
the
way
you find value, man.
Yes, and you know, Salk brought this up about, you know, the Mariners and their pitching staff. And do you think it was an intentional move that they were going to when the league says velo, 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 power, 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 that they have Wade LeBlanc, Marco Gonzalez, Mike Leake, and a bunch of soft tossing starters in their rotation? It was that an intentional move, or is that a byproduct of maybe some other struggles and everything else?
I'd be more inclined to tell you it was intentional if James Paxton had not been unleashed after he found that 3 or 4 miles an hour of velocity.
Mm-hmm.
James Paxton is where he is because of the velocity he found in the offseason when he changed his arm slot 2 years ago. But I do think that the fact that they went and got Marco Gonzalez, who was characterized as a soft tosser and who doesn't have, that they've looked at, you're not going to be able to go out. It's too expensive to find a fireballer.
Mm-hmm. When everybody else is doing it, why not go about it a little different way? And Wade LeBlanc sure did and had an unbelievable May, and hopefully he can keep it going. And the other one is D. Gordon. I can't quantify speed. The stolen base is a lost start. Well, is it? I mean, you tell me. We've gotten to watch it this year. You've got the Major League Baseball's best base stealer, and it's hard to quantify the role that always plays. Ask Gene Segura what it's meant to him. Is he's hitting nearly 340. Ask him. Ask those guys. They know the pest that he is when he gets on the base. In a one-run game, all you're thinking is like, okay, when's he going to get up? You know, he's going to get on base, going to get on third. Like the factor that, you know, he still is with his speed and hitting singles and doing it the way he does. And yeah, maybe he and Gene are free swingers. Good. They're pretty darn good at it. So I just wonder if there's some of those areas behind the scenes they've decided very intentionally to zig while others will continue to zag.
I think they've looked at it, and if anything, a player like D. Gordon has become undervalued over the past 10 years because teams look at it and say, well, I don't need a guy that hits 300 or has 200 base hits if I get a guy that walks more significantly and that I can find a cheaper replacement for that. And D. Gordon's not a cheap player. He's a Gold Glove winner, and he's someone with a significant salary. But I think in some ways, because of the obsession with and focus on on-base percentage, that D and what he brings has been undervalued. I think he's a great deal. I think the trade that they made for him, giving up Taiwan Walker was a huge risk, and that trade looks a lot different right now because he's just undergone Tommy John surgery. He's not going to be here for a year. The biggest sacrifice they made with D. Gordon was taking on his salary. They gave up Brian Hernandez, who was a pretty decent prospect in the outfield, but the sacrifice that they made was taking on the salary, and he's more than worth the money
they're
paying.
Every single penny. Hey, Kyle, do you find any of the skunk out there? Do you hear in the blanket in the skunk? Is there...
I don't mean to be like Mr. Doomsday or anything.
Is there a certain like similarity in tone?
The idea of a creature larger than a gorilla with an odor like a skunk might seem far-fetched.
Well, as you know, I am sometimes the skunk at the picnic.
I don't know. I don't see a 90-something win team that they're putting out there on the field. Do you guys?
This is the skunk straight to you two in particular.
I've been watching football longer than both of you have been alive, okay?
The farm system is absolutely terrible.
I mean,
I hear it.
Is there something?
I really love stuff like Iron Maiden, stuff that's wickedly heavy.
That's what I remember is what he was talking to us about, the wickedly heavy.
I mean, how do you?
The skunk kind of speaks as if, though, he's got like a scotch in one hand and a charcuterie plate in front of him on the other side.
Yes.
Whereas Jeff Passan just kind of speaks as if he's like looking down his nose to you constantly.
The best you're doing is like, is Kyle Lewis really the best you're doing?
Translated,
hi, Phil the skunk. How are you?
Do you guys know how dumb you are?
No, wait a minute. I use the phrase, sometimes I'm the skunk at the party, which is a common phrase in the vernacular.
Right.
Okay? Simply to describe the fact that I have a contrarian view, and right. I believe a more realistic view to your irrational exuberance.
Well, I'm so glad that you believe that to be my view.
Called skunk, quite frankly.
I'm
I think
sorry.
It's a bit demeaning.
I do appreciate that Jeff Passan is unabashedly himself, and he gives his takes. He doesn't try to be anything other than he is.
They're going to have some bad years coming up, man. They're going to have some bad years.
Passan gave a toast at Greg Bishop's wedding that was here in Seattle, and it was hilarious because he put on like little glasses like Greg wore a hat. And he was talking about the first time that Greg met his wife, and he came down and like, I found the love of my life. And he goes, yeah, right. Greg never talks like that. He was like, yeah, man, there was some girl that I was with. I don't know what's going on. It was one of like watching Jeff Passan imitate Greg Bishop was one of the truly, it was like Face Off when Nick Cage was being the John Travolta character. It was awesome.
I think he's highly entertaining and really funny.
I
like having him on.
If any of you are in Olympia, I think Phil the Skunk works at a guitar store, right? In Olympia. If any of you are around that guitar store and can go find the skunk, if he is still there, I would love it.
He was always at Music 6000.
Music 6000 down
happened
in Olympia.
To him?
I don't know.
He called pretty consistently.
He did.
He wasn't happy with his sobriquet. Was that what he
called
it?
Yeah, that is like, to be my sobriquet, which
Phil
was
the skunk,
awesome.
Very common in the vernacular.
I'm telling you right now, if you're still a sports fan and you know anything about the Seahawks and who faces the most pressure and expectation, and I may be biased. But you call in, you're going to be on this top five board. That's where Roger, Adam, Kendall, Isaiah, and Steve find themselves. Maybe Isaiah is going to be knocked off that sucker today. And I see Jody, and I see Curtis, I see Kendall back on the phone line here. They're all either going to want to stay or find themselves in that top five. Skunk, if you're out there, you have every opportunity to tell me and Danny next who faces the most pressure for the Seahawks, because we'll get back to that conversation, and I promise you all your calls. Danny's in for Salk, Sprock & Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Their farm system is absolutely terrible. Like, there's just nothing down there. Like, really, it's kind of sad.
This is Brock & Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
It's been a while since I've been this geeked up. 5 o'clock, first pitch. Mariners down in Houston tonight. Just excited. Just excited to see how you stack up. Because I think these Mariners stack up. I think even a wet blanket like Jeff Passan's like it. Yeah, eventually it's undeniable. 15 games over 500 is 15 games over 500. And we're going to get to see them put to the test tonight down in Houston and tomorrow.
Really?
Yes, really. And no skunk yet. I got an open phone line, 206-421-3776. Miss Jody in Kirkland, or Mr. Jody, Miss Jody? Mr. Jody, been hanging on long. It's over an hour. Who faces most pressure?
Come again?
Jody in Kirkland's been hanging on the line for over an hour. What did I say?
You said Mr., Mrs.,
I said Miss Jody or Mr. Jody. I don't know if it's Miss or Mr. Jody.
You can just bring her on.
Is it her or him? And we'll see right now because an hour and 5 minutes later, wanting to weigh in on who faces the most pressure for the Seahawks in 18. Is it Pete?
Okay.
Is it Russ? Is it Schneider? Is it Schottenheimer? Is it someone else? Who is it, Jody?
It is Mr. Russell Wilson. Absolutely.
Because?
Because it has nothing to do with his play. We know what his play is about. It is time to man up and be Mr. Unlimited in motivation and leadership in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to reach his team and gel that offense.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's all on him. Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Jody, can you say it in Spanish or German or French or anything else that we heard yesterday?
No.
Taro. Yelimataro.
Man. Reach your team, Russ. Stop with the cliches. Reach your team. Gel them. Bring it on.
Jody, strong call.
Congratulations. You've made the top five.
Top five.
Wow. Wow. Who hit that? Who hit that bumper right there?
Oh, are you excited, God. Jody? Jody, are you excited?
Jody.
I am thrilled, and I really didn't care if I made the board.
Oh, come on, Jody. Oh, Jody, now you just went and ruined it.
I don't believe it, Jody.
Now you didn't even care.
Jody, I think you look at yourself as Mrs. Unlimited.
Elementaro.
When it comes to the Seahawks. Yeah. But when it comes to the Mariners, I just got to say, Mike Z., pure artistry behind that plate. I love watching him.
How about your voice today? Thank you, Jody. Now, don't worry about that. Thank you, Jody. Whether you want it or not, you're going to find yourself, I guess,
top five.
I will say this. I'll cut through a little bit. I'd put in my vote Pete Carroll number one, significantly. Russell Wilson is number two. I think Schottenheimer is going to find himself three, and Schneider four. I don't know if you answered it, one through four?
My answer. It's Carroll, then Schneider, then Wilson, then Schottenheimer.
Okay.
Schottenheimer's the least interesting to me. He's going to be the figurehead and the guy that people are going to point to because you can't change the coach.
Low-hanging fruit, though. He's going to get eaten.
Correct. I think that Russell, I don't see Russell as a leader, and I don't think that's unusual for quarterbacks. I think a lot of times that your quarterback's the figurehead, but the idea of being the leader and really connecting, I don't think that your quarterback is often that sort of emotional bellwether. Mm. Was Peyton like that in Indy? I mean, I know Peyton was the dominant voice and the one that everything revolved around, but is he really the guy that connected?
No.
Quarterback is almost management, man.
Yeah.
He's as much management as he is a player.
Matthew did, though.
Yes.
You know, Matthew did. I think,
early on.
Yeah.
But by the end with Holmgren and Mora, I think it was a little tougher.
Yeah, it was tougher. And it was tougher with Pete. Yeah, that's a good little deep thought right there. I hadn't thought
Brady is.
Yeah.
Certainly Joe Montana was as kind of the cool, unflappable under pressure. But I think there are a lot of quarterbacks that kind of occupy that never-never land of not quite a player, but not
quite
a coach.
But I will say this to Jody's point. I do think that, and I've said this for years, it's probably my biggest critique of Russell. And the biggest challenge he faces is being management. And I think in his very nature, Danny, the way he has been wired, the way he is built, it really pushes towards that. And you see it with all of these ventures and everything he wants to do.
He wants to own a baseball team.
He wants to help with the NBA arena. He wants to have Trace Me become U2. Everything that he desires to do, man, the guy is just wired to do more than just play football. And I do think he is most challenged to connect. I don't know, lead. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know exactly how you do define that for an NFL franchise quarterback. Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, they all do it. Favre, they all do it differently. You're right.
There was a fascinating book called The Captain Class. It was written by a guy named Sam Walker, whose background was with the Wall Street Journal.
Huh.
And the book looked at what he identified as the most dominant sports teams in modern history. So like the last 100 years, and it was a rugby team, a soccer team. And he tried to identify what is the trait that unites all of these historically dominant teams? What is the one thing that all of these historically dominant teams share? And what he found was that there was one player who embodied a captaincy, a sacrifice, that they were kind of the spiritual center of it. And most often, and almost in every case, it was not the best player on the team who occupied that.
Who's occupied it the last 5 years?
For the Seahawks?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say that Marshawn, in a lot of ways, was that sort of captain, but I don't think that's necessarily the right answer. Pete would be someone. I think Pete would answer that he sees himself in that role.
Sure.
but it's not somebody that's in there. And I think that would be one of the things of what maybe failed to separate in Seattle from failing to become a team that won multiple Super Bowls or got back to more than back-to-back Super Bowls was they didn't have somebody that embodied that.
That's interesting. And I think Legacy was the book I read on the All Blacks, the most successful team ever. And I think that book quoted your book a number of different times. Well, Jody's going to be number four. So we're going to bump Isaiah from Yakima off of this board. So in order to be in the top five, someone's coming off. A number three, he took a step down yesterday. He fell to number three on the board. He wants to totally redeem himself, and he does it quite often. And he's going to argue for a name that we've not talked about yet. Kendall down in Santa Monica, what say you?
Hey, if I can, I'd like to chime in on the thing you guys just talked about. You know, Pat Riley's book also touches on, you know, leadership and what it takes to fight what he called the disease of more. And he said that you need an alpha dog who's going to be able to get the rest of the guys in line, because the players at the end of the day are going to listen to another player they respect. And that was Cam Chancellor. And he abdicated his role as the moral compass of the team with the holdout. And I think that's where some of the stuff kind of got haywire, where some of the other personalities weren't kept in check.
Wow, that's deep. Strong. Okay, bring it. Why you vote for John Schneider in this as far as having the most pressure and expectation in 18?
Yeah, how many stars have we picked up in the draft since 2013, right? And I'm not even talking about I want a star every draft, because that's unrealistic. But give me one true bona fide star, one true game-changing guy every down. Maybe you might say Frank Clark, but he disappears sometimes, right? As much brilliance and as much talent as he has. And I think, you know, Pete knows what he's doing. If you look at USC, if you look at Seattle, he knows how to get a team playing at a high level, and he's done it and proven it. So for me, there's no pressure. He knows what he's doing. But with John Schneider, I'm just surprised more people aren't talking about it, because it's really that these drafts, I mean, not a single star, guys, not a single one. If you had one more star, maybe some of those bounces that didn't come our way last couple seasons, maybe that one of those truly transcendent players would do it. So I do think, for the record, he did nail this draft. I think some of the guys we brought in are exactly who we need and are going to have effects both on and off the field. But I think the pressure's on Schneider to prove that, you know, that he can do it truly without Scott McLuhan.
That's good stuff, Kendall. It always is. You're going to remain in the top five. To me, that's a bona fide top five call.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, when you look
love
at that board
the point
right
on
there,
Cam Chancellor.
I mean, Jody brought the energy, right? Adam is very consistent. Roger and Tacoma better be careful. He's resting on his laurels. Larry the Skunk, obviously, is what was his shop called, Kyle? Down there in Olympia?
It was a Music 6000.
Yeah, Music 6000. I don't know. I may have to make my own drive down there. May have to like. Just
I think Music 6000, if the text toy is to be believed, yes, is closed.
Oh, it did close.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So maybe the Skunk's moved on into a different market.
Who knows?
Okay. Well, if any of you know the Skunk out there, and you ever got to know him personally, and he is still around,
that is to be my sobriquet.
Yes, we do miss you, Danny. What a blast today! That show completely flew by. All we have left is to answer a few questions. What?
Dave Wyman just sent me a story. And the headline of the story is Man Punches Bear in the Nose to Rescue Beagle. that's all it says.
Is that going to lead to?
Maybe. Dave's always claimed he can beat up the bear.
True. That may lead a little misfit radio. Only an hour today because the Mariners come our way. Pre-game at 4, first pitch. Can't wait to watch it against the defending World Series champs. Houston Astros will be at 5 o'clock today right on these airwaves. Danny, we answered some questions, but we need your help. So text those in to 710-710. Thank you for the bevy of phone calls. Lots of fun today. Thank you even to the wet blanket. He always adds a level of humor. It's Brock and Salk with Danny sitting in here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Every day this time, we wrap up the show answering your questions. Anything you got? Danny O'Neill fired up today. A few cackles in there.
Yeah, I had some.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I listened to your guys' segment, Danny David Moore's show. You guys wrap up your show with what you've learned. I think everything I learned yesterday, you cackled at every one of those.
I was laughing really hard.
That's good.
Which was good.
Aren't those the best shows?
It was a tough weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were.
That's It's great to have you in. Thanks again for coming in this morning, filling in just an hour show today before a little Mariners baseball in the late afternoon. Howdy.
Jerks, since Dave thinks he can beat up a bear, what's the most dangerous animal you think you could take in a fight?
I'd be bad with an animal, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dangerous. What's
so the other day, this deer.
Animal? Guinea pig? I could take a guinea pig.
These two deer were in our backyard, and the one with the antlers was eating some of the flowers off one of our blooming trees. And so I went out there, and I tried to shoo him away, make a noise. He didn't move, and then he started to come towards me. And the whole family were eating brunch. By the way, I make the best brunch there is on Saturday mornings when I'm home. And they were all eating brunch. They were all watching in the window. And I was like, man, what if this deer with the antlers comes after me? What am I going to do? It'd be a good little match. I mean, I have to stand up for the house, right? The family and the kids.
Dude, I don't think you want to take on anything with horns or antlers.
Yeah, they were kind of the soft ones. They were a little velvety, right? They're kind of in the velvety stage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What? I don't think
Have you ever seen what a deer will do to a truck? What it'll do to a car?
Yeah. It'll bash its head in there.
Yeah.
It's like putting felt on a piece of metal and saying,
you got to get on
hard.
Top. You got to try to choke it out, probably.
I'd love to see you try to put a deer in a headlock.
Next question.
Platypus?
I once tried to shoo a raccoon away from the dog food out on the deck at my mom's house, and the raccoon stood its ground.
Oh, those raccoons are
And then
nasty,
I went back
though.
Inside.
Yeah, they just,
I was armed with a rake, and I was like, dude,
hiss, no,
get away. It was like, no, I'm not leaving. Okay, fine, you have the dog food.
Answer the question, jerks. My girlfriend flew a guy out from out of state who has feelings for her without my knowledge. Mm. He stayed at our place while I was gone. Ooh. Should I end things immediately, or should I let her try and explain it?
As a man who just had my wife go on vacation with another fella.
She's still doing that, huh?
Yeah, they went to Alaska over Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
This is a little different. If he has feelings for her...
Behind his back.
And it stayed at your place. I mean, I think you have to have a really blunt conversation.
Yeah,
like,
do.
She certainly deserves, if you're living together, that's a pretty significant commitment. So she should get a chance to talk to you about it. But I would be very leery of accepting any sort of explanation about that one. Because even if nothing happened, at the very least, she was relishing in the affection or the interest.
Makes no sense.
If there was nothing wrong with her behavior, why didn't she just come up and tell you about it? If they're just friends and there's no problem with it, then, it's the, like Kyle said, behind the back part that's the problem. Why not just be honest?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
Not a good deal.
Maybe she just.
Next question.
What?
That just makes me kind of sick to my stomach.
Yeah,
I feel bad for that.
Me too.
Yeah. If that's true, and not just some weird hypothetical, some sick and twisted guy who texts our show.
Yeah, who thinks that he's discovered unraveled all the clues. Like, Hercule Poirot.
Jerks. Can next we get question. Traction for a gambling show called The Gold Machine with Jim Moore and the Gauze?
Yeah, I'd be all for that.
And we could have, like, in the background, that $5,000 investment that Jim made in that machine that was going to turn pennies into gold.
No, it was going to process previously unprocessable ore.
Oh, there you go.
It's so amazing.
It's the best.
It was when I, a long time ago in my 20s, when I invested $5,000 in this, what I thought was a gold machine. It was supposed to be able to get previously unminable gold out of rocks and...
And it was shaped like a bong.
It was shaped like a bong. And
the proprietary technology was covered with foil.
Didn't you think?
Correct.
And you know what? It should also be sponsored by the honeybee. The
bee venom cream.
bee venom cream.
Here's the thing that's beautiful about Jim.
That's right. Nature's Relief bee venom cream.
The part that's beautiful about Jim is the naivete that he doesn't question, because if someone came to me and asked me for $5,000 for the gold machine, I'm like, if you really had that technology, you wouldn't be asking for $5,000 for me.
Is
you'd be hogging this all to yourself. But Jim's like, this stuff could happen. Like, there's a beautiful naivete about
it. In that way, is Jim very much the Russell Wilson of 710, where he's just like, yeah, you call that guy up if you want him to invest in something.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. He'll do it.
Check out Nature's Relief Bee Venom Cream.
Should I try it?
That's right. Nature's Relief Bee Venom Cream. Normally $55. It's 50% off right now. This Bee Venom Cream is a silky smooth cream with real bee venom and healing herbs.
Maybe we'll tell Jim about, Jim, we got this idea. We're going to bake bread, and it's going to be in the shape of a microphone. It's going to be called Eat the Mic.
$1 million idea.
Oh, bless his heart.
I love Jeff.
Is that it, Howdy?
Yeah.
That was a fun show.
Have I progressed and improved in the 4 years since we worked together?
Yeah, you've gotten really good.
I don't know about that.
Really good.
Let's not get carried away. I don't get mad anymore.
No.
Start puffing and puffing and shaking.
Come on, Mariners.
Let's go!
Go get them Astros today, huh? I know it's only two meaningless games in the month of June, and I know all of that, but not in this town. Not with what Sharon's feeling, not with what the fans are feeling, not with what the ratings are saying. Come on, man. I expect you to go out there and compete and go get it done. I do. I'm not hopeful anymore. I'm expecting, because you guys expect it, and that's what's most exciting. So we will be talking about that. Salka will be back in Boston. Danny will be back this afternoon at 3 o'clock for Danny, Dave, and more. Leading into the pregame show, first pitch right after 5. Can't thank you enough again for getting up early, buddy. Thank you.
It's really fun to work with you, Brock. And you've been a really important person to me. No, you have. Through my whole time here.
Been a fun ride, buddy.
Really fortunate to work with you.
It's been fun
to get back together this morning.
It sure is. But for this day, Danny. The hay.
Barn.
See.
I don't know. I don't see a 90-something win team that they're putting out there on the field. Do you guys?
Swing, line drive. This game is over!
Get to the chopper!